Remember this portion of the story of God as it is written in the book that we love. And this is from Isaiah 33 and 35. Woe to you, O destroyer, while you were not destroyed. And he who is treacherous, while others did not deal treacherously with him. As soon as you finish destroying, you will be destroyed. As soon as you cease to deal treacherously, others will deal treacherously with you.
O Lord, be gracious to us. We have waited for you.
Oh, be their strength every morning.
And our salvation also in the time of distress. At the sound of the tumult, peoples flee. At the lifting up of yourself, nations disperse. Your spoil is gathered as the caterpillar gathers, as locusts rushing about, men rush about on it.
The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He has filled Zion with justice and righteousness. And he will be the stability of your times, a wealth of salvation, wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is his treasure.
Behold, their brave men cry in the streets. The ambassadors of peace weep bitterly. The highways are desolate. The traveler has ceased. He has broken the covenant. He has despised the cities. He has no regard for man. The land mourns and pines away. Lebanon is shamed and withers. Sharon is like a desert plain. And Bashan and Carmel lose their foliage.
Now I will arise, says the Lord. Now I will be exalted. Now I will be lifted up. You have conceived chaff. You will give birth to stubble. My breath will consume you like fire. The peoples will be burned to lime, like cut thorns which are burned in the fire.
You who are far away, hear what I have done. And you who are near, acknowledge my might. Sinners in Zion are terrified. Trembling has seized the godless. Who among us can live with consuming fire? Who among us can live with continual burning? He who walks righteously and speaks with sincerity, he who rejects unjust gain and shakes his hand so that they can hold no bribe, he who stops his ears from hearing about bloodshed and shuts his eyes from looking upon evil, he will dwell on the heights. His refuge will be the impregnable rock. His bread will be given him. His water will be sure.
Your eyes will see the king in his beauty. They will behold a far distant land. Your heart will meditate on terror. Where is he who counts? Where is he who weighs? Where is he who counts the towers? You will no longer see fierce people, a people of intelligible speech which no one comprehends, of a stammering tongue which no one understands. Look upon Zion, the city of our appointed feast. Your eyes will see Jerusalem, an undisturbed habitation, a tent which will not be folded. Its stakes will never be pulled up, nor any of its cords torn apart.
But there, the majestic one, the Lord, will be for us a place of rivers and wide canals on which no boat with oars will go and on which no mighty ships will pass. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king, and he will save us. Your tackle hangs slack. It cannot hold the base of its mast firmly, nor spread out the sail. Then the prey of an abundant spoil will be divided. The lame will take the plunder, and no resident will say, I am sick. The people who dwell there will be forgiven their iniquity.
The wilderness and the desert will be glad, and the Araba will rejoice with blossom. Like the crocus it will blossom profusely and rejoice with rejoicing and shouts of joy.
The glory of Lebanon will be given to it. The majesty of Carmel and Sharon, they will see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Encourage the exhausted and strengthen the feeble. Say to those with anxious heart, take courage, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. The recompense of God will come, but he will save you.
Then the eyes of the blind will be open and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer and the tongue of the mute will shout for joy. For waters will break forth in the wilderness and streams in the Arabah. The scorched land will become a pool and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals, its resting place, grass becomes reeds and rushes.
A highway will be there, a roadway, and it will be called the highway of holiness. The unclean will not travel it, but it will be for him who walks in that way. And fools will not wander on it. No lion will be there, nor will any vicious beast go up on it. These will not be found there, but the redeemed will walk there.
And the ransomed of the Lord will return and come with joyful shouting to Zion, with everlasting joy upon their heads.
They will find gladness and joy. All sorrow and all sighing will flee away. The word of the Lord.
The readings you've heard were from Isaiah 33 and 35. And I've decided instead of compressing to run through this, I'm going to give the introduction this week and we'll pick up next week where this leaves off. Today's reading is the last of a series of six woes from Isaiah chapter 28 to 33, that warn, generally speaking, that warn God's people against trusting the world system for their survival and their success. However, this last woe, this last bit, is a warning not to those inhabitants of Judah. Matter of fact, it's unique because it's the only woe that is given to the enemy of Judah. It is a warning to the predator, not the prey. Woe to you, O destroyer. The destroyer is described as treacherous and deceitful. He betrays the trust that others put in their contracts with him, their treaties with him, their agreements. And their word of honor. He betrays that trust. In Isaiah's day, the destroyer would refer to Assyria. As a matter of fact, and as an example, Judah, and I think we'll read about this in the story of Hezekiah that comes next, Judah stripped God's temple of all of its gold. They melted down all of the gold plates and service pieces. They even went so far as to strip the gold leaf off of all of the decorations that were in the temple. They brought it all together in a large sum and delivered it out to the king of Assyria, pleading with him, please accept this gold from us. And do not invade us. Do not destroy our land. Assyria took the gold, agreed to the terms, and then invaded anyway, stripping Judah and the northern kingdoms down to the bone until they got to Jerusalem itself and besieged it. This interpretation, this sense that this section is about what's happening in Isaiah's day is supported by verses 18 and 19, where it says, your heart will meditate on terror. You will no longer see a fierce people, a people of unintelligible speech, which no one comprehends, of a stammering tongue, which no one understands, which could be the customer service department of Dell Computers, but in this case, it's the Assyrian army that is calling for Judah to open its Jerusalem to open its gates and to surrender. There is a sense in which this whole passage has, this whole section of woes has a message to contemporary Judah in Isaiah's day. But Isaiah's prophecies often have a far future or end times application as well. And in verses 5 to 6 refer to a time when the salvation of God will be completely fulfilled, when God will restore Zion to himself. And so we know that this chapter also is looking forward in time. In this sense, the ultimate destroyer is Satan, the liar and the treacherous serpent in the Garden of Eden, as well as in the heart of the world's darkness and chaos that we considered last week. So this prophecy has relevance to us as the church, the whole church, from today until the end of days, because it's talking about a drama that has been taking place and over and over and over again, with each rehearsal becoming closer to the dress rehearsal and the final event, which is still into the future. God will hold the kingdoms of the world accountable for their deeds, but he will also hold the supreme spiritual leader of those kingdoms, Satan himself, accountable as well. Chapter 33, verse 14, describes God as a consuming fire and a continual burning that will hold all of creation, the seen and the unseen, accountable for their sin. The evil has to stop. And I've preached this many times before, and I continue. It has to stop. It has to be changed. And those who insist on embracing evil and rebellion from God and themselves as their own God have to be stopped, because we will pollute the highest heaven all over again if God doesn't change us, if God doesn't stop what we're doing. The burning fire of God is necessary, or human history, which is a history of destruction and death and deceit and treachery, will continue forever until we destroy ourselves, which is another thing God isn't going to let happen. When the question is asked, who among us can live with the consuming fire of God's holiness? Who among us can live with a continual burning? The answer is the righteous. And Isaiah 33 describes the righteousness of God's people in terms of the righteous act of repentance, the righteous holiness, and the righteous hope of the believer, all of which will sustain us in hard times. And I'll pick up on that next week, so stay tuned. And if you would like, I would like it if you would read chapter 33 over again and chapter 35. We're going to skip over 34. And which was read this morning, and be ready, and we'll look into it more next week.